Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Tainis Daf Chof Dalid. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief formatted introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin today's shiur from the bottom line of Daf Chof Gimel Amid Beis. You'll notice on that line another one of our bow tie markings, the marking style that we started in our previous shiur, where the bow tie highlights incidents, meisim, stories that are featured one after the other throughout these dapim of Gemara. So we see at the bottom, before we actually learn the Gemara, a topic heading on the side, the Nosei, and we've written on the side, Maisa, we'll see an incident, Shebo Rabbi Yossi Bar Ovin, Metayer Loma Hu Azav Es Raboi Rabbi Yossi De Min Yukras, whereby Rabbi Yossi explains to us why he left his rabbi, Rabbi Yossi De Min Yukras, and you'll see in the course of the Gemara, he went to learn by Rav Ashi. The Gemara. Rabbi Yossi Bar Ovin havishchiach kamei d'Rabbi Yossi d'ben Yukras. Rabbi Yossi Bar Ovin was a regular, was common, shchiach is on a regular basis or a common basis, was found by Rabbi Yossi d'ben Yukras, min Yukras, Yukras was the name of his place. Both have the first name, Rabbi Yossi, so as to not confuse them, realize that Rabbi Yossi Bar Oven had been a regular by the other Rabbi Yossi from Yukras. Shavke the Osa the Kamed Ravashi. Rabbi Yossi Bar Oven left Rabbi Yossi min Yukras and opted to go to learn by Ravashi. We continue at the top of Chof Dalid, Omer Aleph. Yumochad Shame de Kogoris. One day he heard him in learning, while he was learning, saying, Omar Shmuel, Hashoyle Dag Min Hayom B'Shabbos, one who draws a fish out of the sea on Shabbos. Shabbos is a day that there are many activities that are restricted, and amongst them is the taking of the life of a living creature. Now, taking a fish out of its water obviously will lead to its demise. So, one who takes a fish out of the water, out of the sea on Shabbos, Kevan Shi Yavash Boi Kesela Chayov. Yavash means the skin of the fish became dry as the water was dripping off, so it becomes dry. Sela is a size of a coin. It's a coin size. So once a coin, once the amount of skin on the fish that's the size of a sela becomes dry, the fish will no longer continue to live. Even though it flaps around, as many of you have probably seen fish once they're taken out of water, the flapping around is not an indication that it's still alive. Once it reaches a dryness, the size of a sela coin, that's an indication it will no longer live. And hence, chayav means he is in violation of the laws of Shabbos, of taking a life. Omar lei, so he says, velema mor, why not say, ubein snapirov, that where is the dryness of a sela a critical factor? If it appears between its fins. Omar lei, so he says to the other one, he says, V'lo sovar lomor tahi Rabbi Yossi ben Ovin omra. So that initially here, on the third line from the top, Rav Ashi was saying to Rabbi Yossi bar Ovin, why don't you say, let us correct ourselves. That's Rabbi Yossi Bar Ovin was saying to Rav Ashi, why don't you say more specifically that its dryness is a problem of taking its life when it's between its fins? So on the third line from the top, that was Rabbi Yossi Bar Ovin telling Rav Ashi to be more specific in his teaching. Amale, so Rav Ashi says back, oh, you're telling me to say Ubein Snapirov? Well, that's a teaching that was said in the name of Rabbi Yossi Bar Oven. So Rav Ashi says, V'lo sabar lo mor dahi Rabbi Yossi Bar Oven omra? Don't you hold that it's Rabbi Yossi Bar Oven that said that? And Rashi adds that when a Torah teaching is said over in the name of its author, that is a very positive thing. Rashi quotes the Gemara that says it brings redemption to the world. It's maybe Geula li'olam. So Rav Ashi is saying to the one who's speaking to him, who he doesn't know right now, happens to be Rabbi Yossi Bar Oven. So Rav Ashi is saying, if you're asking me to say that, so you should at least add that it's the teaching of Rabbi Yossi Bar Oven. Omar Lay, so Rabbi Yossi Bar Oven says back, well, the reason I didn't tell you to say it in his name is because Ano Nihu, I am he, I am Rabbi Yossi Bar Oven. Omar Lay, so Rav Ashi says, Falav kamei de Rabbi Yossi de min yukras havishchiach mor? Aren't you a regular by Rabbi Yossi from yukras? In other words, what are you doing here? Omar lei, so Rabbi Yossi says back, Hain, yes, I was a regular by him. Omar lei, so Rav Ashi asks, my time was shavke mor v'asahocha, so why did you leave him and come here? Omar lei, so Rav Yossi Bar Oven says back, Gavra, the albrei v'albarte, lo chos, a man that on his son and on his daughter has no compassion, olai didi heichi chayas, how would he have compassion on me? And as the story goes on, you can see we should have mentioned maybe at the beginning of today's shiur that this is part of a long presentation. You can see the long marking that accompanies this. In the course of the Gemara, you will see Rabbi Yossi Bar Oven justifying his claim that Rabbi Yossi de Minyukras is a man, we'll say he's extremely principled. And in the course of being extremely principled, he leaves no room for mercy, and that frightens me. Now, let's see, as we go on in the Gemara, you can see we have a new marking, a crown shape, and on the side under the Mivneh, these represent Maisim Hakshurim Rabbi Yossi de Minyukras. These are stories that are associated with Rabbi Yossi Minyukras. The first two are directly related to what we just said in the Gemara, where Rabbi Yossi Bar Oven says the man doesn't have compassion on his own children. So number one is a case involving his son, Beno He'echil Po'alov. We'll see a story of a miraculous nature where Rabbi Yossi Minyukras had workers that part of the arrangement was that he would provide them with their meals. But one day, Rabbi Yossi de Minyukras was late in showing up to his workers, and Rabbi Yossi de Minyukras' son provided them with their meal by turning to a fig tree and having it miraculously produce fruits from which the workers ate. And that upset Rabbi Yossi de Minyukras when he eventually found out about it, and as you'll see in the Gemara, that leads to Rabbi Yossi de Minyukras, we'll say, cursing or causing his son to die. A second story you will see is Bito Hayafa. We wrote over here his attractive daughter that caused their neighbor to gaze upon her, and Rabbi Yossi Minyukras, the father of the attractive girl, realized that the neighbor was stumbling, was viewing something he shouldn't. One is expected to control his eyes, what he looks upon, and he was looking upon someone else's daughter, a girl that he wasn't married to. So the father, Rabbi Yossi Minyukras, said that you're causing people to stumble, and hence you don't deserve to continue living. You're a stumbling block to others, and she died. So you see that Rabbi Yossi de Minyukras, out of his principles, causes his own children to die, giving a basis for concern on the part of Rabbi Yossi Bar Ovan. I don't want to be in his vicinity because who knows what that could lead to. And a third story in the Gemara we'll see about a donkey that Rabbi Yossi Ben Yukras owned and how, let's say, exacting or principled was that animal when it came to monetary matters. So now we turn to the Gemara for the details. The Gemara, where the first wide line, where the crown marking appears, Bray Mai Hi. What's the story involving his son? Yumochad, one day, Havu Agri Le Agiri Bedabra. Rabbi Yossi Ben Yukras had workers that were hired to work in the fields. Dabra is the fields. Agri Le Agiri. Agiri are workers that are hired for pay. Noga Luhu. Velo Aisi Luhu Rifta. Noga means he was delayed, and Lo Aisi didn't bring to them Rifta their bread. In other words, he didn't bring their meal. Omru Le Lebre, Kafninon. The workers told his son, we are hungry. Havu Yasvitusi Te'enta. They were sitting under a fig tree. Omar, the son, said, Te'eno, Te'eno. Hotsi'i Perosayech Vyochlu Poleabo. Produce fruits so that the workers of my father can have what to eat. Afiku viochlu, well, the tree produced its fruits, a miraculous event, and they had what to eat, and they ate. Adahochi vochi osafu. In the meantime, the father, namely Rabbi Yossi Ben Yukras, came. Omar luhu, he told his workers, al loi tinkitu b'dataychu, don't suspect me that I came without concern for your meal. Tahai de Nagano, that which I was, Nagano is like the word Noga. We have Noga, and the suffix Nun Aleph is Ano, meaning, and we said Noga was late. You know, so the word means that which I was late or delayed, a mitzvah Torachno, I was preoccupied with a mitzvah, Torachno, Torach Ano, combined into one word, Torachno. I was preoccupied, I was busy. V'ad hashto hu desagoi. And it's only until now that I had a chance to come. In other words, up till now I was preoccupied with the mitzvah. Omru le, so the workers realized, the workers who now had really already eaten, they said to Rabbi Yossi de Ben Yukras, Rachmona lisbacho ki hechi das ba'on baruch. The Almighty should satisfy you like your son satisfied us. Omar luhu mehecho. So the father says, from where did my son have what to feed you? Omru hochi v'hochi hava maisa. So the workers candidly reported the story as it was. Omar lo. So now the father turned to the son and said, Beni, my son, ato hitrachto es kincha. You troubled your creator. Lahoitzi te'eno peroseho shalobizmana. To have the fig tree produce its fruits not in its expected time. Ye'osef shalobizmano. So you should be gathered in to your place in the next world prematurely. In other words, measure for measure, just like the tree, just like the Kodesh Baruch had to trouble himself to have the tree produce its fruits in an untimely fashion, so you should die in an untimely fashion. Barte Maihi. Havyo Le Barto Balas Yofi. So what is the story concerning his daughter? So the Gemara tells us that he had a daughter that was particularly attractive. Yumachad Chazilu Gavro Dahavikarya Behutza Vika Chazila. One day, Rabbi Yossi Ben Yukras noticed a man that was Karya. Karya is in this case, we're talking about a fence made of, let's say, bushes, a natural a tree or wood fence, and he was, Rashi says, Soiser Geder Ha'etzin. There was a wooden fence, and he broke through, or he made a crack in this wooden fence. The Kol Chazila, and through the crack, he was able to view the girl. Omar lo, my high. So Rabbi Yossi ben Yuchris noticed the neighbor had made a crack or a split in the fence. He says, what's this? What's going on? Omar le, so the neighbor says, Rebbe, im lo loicha lo zochisi, if to marry her I didn't merit, lir oisa lo eske, at least to view her, to gaze upon her, I shouldn't merit that. Omar lo, so Rabbi Yossi ben Yuchris said, biti, you are causing pain to others. Brisa means to other creatures. In other words, there's a certain amount of frustration that you're causing them, that's leading them. They don't marry. They can't marry you, and yet they're stumbling by looking at you. Shuvi la'afrech v'al yekoshlu beich b'nei adam. Go back to your dust, and people should not stumble over you. And that's what happened. And so these two incidents led Rabbi Yossi Bar Ovin to worry about a continued presence by Rabbi Yossi Demin Yukras. Now we have another story. Havile Hahu Chamra, Rabbi Yossi Min Yukras had a donkey. Kedahavu Agri Lo Kol Yuma Leurto Have Mishadri Lo Agro Agabo. When he would rent out his donkey to others, so every day in the evening people would send the fees, the wages, the fee on its back, the asya lebe mora, and would go with the money back to its owner. The tofu lo obatsri lo, if there was too much money, in other words, if the customer overpaid, or batsri lo, or underpaid, lo asya, the animal would not move. Yumochad inshu zuga de sandali alo, one day a pair of shoes were left on the animal's back, velo aslo, and it didn't move, ad de shaklit lunhu mino the hodr azal, until those shoes were removed from its back, and then the animal went to its master. And now we have a new story. On the side we have an Osei, a topic heading, where we've written Maisa im Elozer ish birta. We'll see a story involving this individual. Shehoya ma'oid nadiv mitzvah stoki, was extremely gracious and generous with regard to fulfilling the mitzvah, the commandment of charity. Umaisa nais, and we'll see in the course of this story a miraculous incident. Im hachita shekona bezuz echot shenishar loi mi kaspe hanedunya shelbito. In the course of the story, we'll see that Elozer ish birta was on his way to buy a dowry for his daughter, but the money that he had earmarked for that, instead he gave it to charity for the sake of a marriage between two orphan people, two orphan children, and he was left with only one coin after giving the rest away for charity for his original purpose of buying a dowry for his daughter. And in the course of the story we'll see that he bought with a zuz, a coin, this one coin sum wheat. He put it into a wheat storage facility that he had, and the wheat miraculously multiplied to the extent that the wheat storage facility became so full that it stuffed the door in such a way that it couldn't even be opened. And that's the miracle that happened. And then we'll see, and as we go through the Gemara, what his reaction is to that miracle. So the Gemara, Elozer ish birta, kad have chozu le gaboy tzedakah, when he was seen by the tzedakah officials, have toshu mine, they would run from him. When Elozer ish birta would spot the gaboy tzedakah, those in charge of tzedakah collections, so they would run away from him. Why did the gaboy tzedakah, the people charged with collecting charity, run away from Elozer? The chomai dehava gabei yohiv lehu. He used to give everything that he had to them. Now that's not the way that people normally fulfill tzedakah. You give 10%, maybe 20% of what you have. Otherwise, you can end up making yourself impoverished, and that's not the Torah way. So they were worried about him. They would, because he would end up giving them everything he had. Yumochad have a solik l'shuka l'mizvan nedunya l'barte. One day he was on his way to the market to buy goods that would comprise his daughter's dowry. Chazyuhu gaboit stoka. The gaboit stoka, they saw him, toshu mine, and they ran away from him. Ozav arat basrayu. He, Elozer Ishbirta, ran after the gaboit stoka. Omar Lahu, he said to those in charge of the charity collections, Ashbasihu Bemayaskisu. He says, I under oath, I want you to tell me what you are involved with. I see you guys are out collecting. What are you out collecting for? Omrule, Biyosom Viyasoma. So they told him, we're collecting for the marriage of an orphan. A boy with an orphan girl. Omar lahen ho avoda shein kodmin leviti. Ho avoda is an expression it's a type of vow, a vow type expression. And he says, they come before my daughter. Shaka called the havid badev yavlu. He took all the money that he had with him and gave it to the officials of Stoka collection. Posh le chad zuzah. He had left one coin. Zavan bay chiti. He took the zuz and bought some wheat. The asik shadya ba'achlevo. He went up and put it in the wheat storage facility, a room that he would ordinarily store wheat in. Asoi devisu. His wife came and omra lo lebarte. So his wife asked his daughter, "My icy loch avuch. What did your father bring?" In other words, she knew that that her husband went out to buy merchandise toward the daughter's dowry. So she was curious, what did your father bring? Omra Law, so the daughter of Elozer ben Ishbirta told Elozer Ishbirta's wife, he says, Koma da Aisi, whatever he brought, the Achleba Shadisa, he threw it into that Achleba, the wheat storage facility. Asya lemiftach bovo de achleva. So she went to open the door of the achleva. Chazes achleva de malyo chiti. She saw that the achleva was filled with wheat. Vekonafke betzinura de dasha velo miftach bovo mechiti. And it was so much wheat filling this storage facility that it was creeping out through the door, and it was coming through konafka, the expression nafka betzinur dedusha, it was protruding out of the door hinge, and as a result of that, the door could not be opened because the room was so full of wheat. Ozla Barte Lebe Midrasha. The daughter went to her father, who was in the base medrash, the place where people study Torah. Omra Le, she told her father, Bo Ure Ma Osa Loch Ohavcha. Behold what the one who loves you has done for you. In other words, you should see what the Kodesh Baruch Hu has done for you. And he understood, or she communicated to him the details that whatever you brought miraculously increased in quantity so much so that we couldn't even open the door. Omar law, the father said, ho avoda. Again, you see this expression that by vow, he says, Are hein hegdish alayach the ein loch bohen eloke echod me'aniye Yisrael. He says, they are, I declare them holy, sanctified, and you have no access to them other than no more than any other poor person in Israel. In other words, this is not what's in that store facility is not for you. The Rashi adds, why did he not want to benefit from that? It is because it came through something miraculous called Maisa Nisim, and one is not to benefit from that which comes through miracles. And this is something that Rashi makes allusion to. We learn on that Chof Amid Beis that a person who does benefit from something miraculous it can come at the expense of his merits in the world to come. As we go on in the Gemara, by way of markings, let us point out that the bow tie marking, which introduces special stories, will continue later in the Gemara. We'll see more bow-tied sections when we get to Omid Beis. However, a new marking that we encounter now introduces another series. And on the side, we have under the Mivneh heading an indication that this will continue to the Chof Hei Omid Beis. Diamonds with a slashed line that follow. Rabbonim, we'll see different leaders, rabbinic figures, Shigazru Tainis Velo Osimich, where they instituted that a public fasting, which is a practice that is used to arouse heavenly mercy in the case of drought, and yet initially they were not successful. So that's what you're going to see time and time again throughout the Gemara. Cases of instituting a fast, and yet rain did not follow. And the stories will continue, each one in its own place. There's another marking that we have, a double underline, that highlights the expression Cholash Daite, the Asimitra. After the we'll see these different in a few of the cases after the failed attempt to bring rain upon them, there was this feeling of despair, of failure and despondency. In Hebrew, in Aramaic, we call it cholash daite, this feeling of as we say, despondency, of brokenness. And as a result of achieving that, in a couple of these stories, that is the mechanism, or that is the element that was necessary in order for the rain to come. There's a certain message that is communicated through these stories, where you see Cholash Daite, and that is, it is that even with prayer and fasting, as long as there remains a certain, we'll say, element of ego, of self-importance, that creates a mechitza, a block for the heavenly bracha, the heavenly bounty to be experienced. There are certain cases, certain situations where the individual has to experience a feeling of real we'll say brokenness, real humility. Maybe humility is what is the element that we have to emphasize here, extreme or total humility. And that is very likely what Cholash Daite implies. So that's a theme that you'll see running through the Gemara in a couple of the stories. Not in every story, though. Let's continue in the Gemara. Rabbi Yehuda Nisia. Let's point out genealogy here. He was a grandson of Rabbi Yehuda Nasi. He was the son of Rabban Gamliel, the son of Rabbi. Throughout history, there were a number of people whose names were Rabban Gamliel. So this Rabbi Yehuda Nasi is the son of the son of Rabbi. Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, Gozar Tanisa. He instituted a fast, Boi Rachami, he prayed, Veloi Osa Mitra, and rain did not fall. Omar, and he said, Kamo Iko Mishmuel Horomosi Yehuda Ben Gamliel. Yehuda Ben Gamliel is himself. How much of a gap there is between Shmuel Horomosi, that Shmuel, the famous prophet Samuel, who merited having rain fall on his behalf. So how, look at the gap between a man who did have rain fall on his behalf and me, myself, Yehuda ben Gamliel, who doesn't merit that. Oy lo lador shekain niska. Oy lo lamisha also biyom of kach. Woe unto the generation that gets stuck like this, and woe unto the one in whose day this happens. So after pondering that, cholash daite the osamitra, he achieved the desired goal of extreme humility, and then the rain came. The Beinasiya, Gozar Tanisa, the house of the Nosi, this was the leadership household, they made a Tainis. Velo od inhu l'rabo l'Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish. These two great rabbinic figures of that time were not informed that there was to be a public fast. L'tzafra odinu. By the morning, they became informed. Omar le Reish Lakish Rabbi Yochanan. So Reish Lakish says to Rabbi Yochanan, regarding our need to fast, we don't seem to need to fast. Halok bilno alon mi'urta. We didn't accept upon ourselves the fast from the day before, as we've learned earlier in the Masichta, that the proper way to accept the fast is by in Mincha the day before accepting the fast obligation. But we didn't do that. Omar Lei, so Rabbi Yochanan says that doesn't matter. We still are obligated to fast. Anan basrayhu garinon. We are drawn after them. In other words, whatever decision they make is automatically binding upon us. After all, they, the Bei Nasir, were the leaders of the community. The Bei Nasir, Gozer Tanisa v'Losim, it's another story involving the Bei Nasir where they ruled there should be fasting and the rain did not come. Tona Lehu, Oshaya Zi'ira Demin Chavraya. Oshaya, the young Oshaya, in that time there were two people with the same name, so as to distinguish between them, he is referred to as the young Oshaya from Chavraya. He said the following source. He said over, V'hoya im me'enei ho'edo na'ase l'shkoga. The Pasuk is describing a case where the Sanhedrin, the leaders of the generation, the high court, made a mistake. And the court is referred to as the Einei Ho'eda, the eyes of the Eda, the congregation, the eyes of the community. They are the leaders. So, but now, capitalizing on the word eyes, we continue with an analogy. Moshal Lekala Shehi Beves Oviyah. The analogy to a bride while she's still in her father's house, anticipating marriage, as long as her eyes are beautiful, the rest of her body doesn't need to be checked out. Eineha trutos, if her eyes are trutos, it's a type of eye shape that's homely, then kol gufa tzricha b'dika, then the rest of her body needs to be checked out. Now bear in mind, of course, this is an analogy, and that is when the leaders are pious and successful, so the rest of the congregation doesn't have to be checked out as to where they're holding with regard to their spirituality. However, if the leadership is not up to par, and here we're referring to the Bei Nasir, who are considered the eyes of the community, their fasting did not lead to rain, so then that is reason to suspect that the rest of the community also is lacking in their spirituality. So this is what Oshaya Zeira said on the heels of the failed tainios of the Bei Nasir. To put it mildly, Oshaya Zeira was not complimentary in his remarks to the Bei Nasir. Also avdei, the servants of the Bei Nasir came, v'romu le sudra b'tzavare, the komatsaru le, they wrapped around his neck some cloth, and it seems that they started to strangle him, they started to pain him. Omru Lehu b'nei Mose, the people of Oshaya Ze'iro's community, told these avodim of the Bein Asiya, Shafke, leave him be, Taha Nami Mitzar Lon. He also bothers us. He afflicts us as well. However, Kevan de Chazinon de Cholmile Lashum Shomayim, but when we realize that what he says to us, whatever insulting remarks, belittling remarks, are all really for the purpose of chastising us out of pure motives, the Shum Shamayim, for the sake of heaven, for pure motives, Lo Amri Le Velo Midi. So we don't react, we don't say anything to him. Vishavkinon Le, and we leave him be. Atun Nami Shavku, you too should also leave him be. He's not malicious in his remarks, he's saying things to arouse those to whom the remarks are directed to raise their spirituality for pure purposes. So leave him be. A new story. Rebbe Gozer Tanisa Velo Also Mitra. Here, Rebbe, the famous Rebbe Yehuda Nasi, instituted a fast because of drought and no rain fell. Nochis Kamei Ilfa V'Amri Lo, another version of the name Rebbe Ilfi. Noches Kamei is an expression referring to the Shliach Tzibor. So someone took over the podium, so to speak, of where the prayers are led. Who did it? Who took over the prayers? Ilfa, some say Rebbe Ilfi. Omar Mashi Baruch, all he said simply the words, Mashi Baruch V'Nosa Zika, or there's another Girsa, V'Noshav Zika, the wind started to blow. Morid HaGeshem, and he said those words, V'Osa Mitra, and the rain came. Amar Lei, so Rebbe says, my Uvdach, what do you do? You know, in other words, I made a fast and that didn't help. You started just mentioning the couple words of the prayers and immediately you were answered. So I want to know more about you. Amar Lei, so he answers, Dayarna B'Kusta D'Chika, the Les Bei Chamra L'Kidusha V'Avdalta. I live in a Kusta Dechiko, a small village where there's no wine for Kiddush and Havdalah. Tarachno Vaisino Chamro LeKiddusha Havdalta. I go out of my way, I trouble myself to bring to acquire wine for Kiddush and Havdalah. Umafikno Lehu Yedei Chovsayu. And I exempt them, in other words, I recite the Kiddush and Havdalah and thereby exempt all of the others in my community. So you see here that the significance of putting yourself out, stretching yourself for Kiddush and Havdalah, and through that merit, the entire people received rain. Rav Iklo Lahud Asra, and another story where Rav goes to a certain place. Gozer Tanisa V'lo Asa Mitra, he instituted a fast and was not successful. The rain did not come. Nochis Kameh, again you see we dot underline these words to create the symmetry in this story with the previous story. Someone took over the prayers. Nochis Kameh Shlicha de Tzibura. Omar Mashi Paruach, the Shliach Tzibur said, the Shliach Tzibur is the one who leads the prayers. He said, Mashi Paruach, the Noshav Zikor, the wind blew. The Omar Mori Geshem, the Yosem Mitra, when he said those words and the rain fell. Omar Lei, so Rav asked, my Uvdach, what do you do? Omar Lei, Mikri Dardiki Ana, Umakrino, Livnei Ani, Kivnei Asiri. First of all, he says, Mikri Dardiki, I am an elementary teacher, a school. Mikri Dardiki, Dardiki, your children. I teach children Torah. And I teach Umakrino, Livnei Ani, Kivnei Asiri. I teach the children of the poor alongside the children of the rich, making no distinction between them, v'chol de lo efshir le, lo shaklino mine midi. And anyone who is unable to afford payment, I don't take anything from them. V'isli piro de kavri, and I have a little fish pond, v'chol man de posha, and any child that isn't sufficiently motivated to study, to learn, to read, Meshachdino le minayhu. I bribe them, so to speak. I offer them a fish in order to motivate them. Umesadrino le, umefaisino le, ad osi vikori. And I straighten things out for the kid and appease the kid until he actually comes and reads. So we see here, we'll call it an educational technique with an everlasting, timeless value. Rav Nachman gozer tanisa boy rachami v'losu mitzvah. Rav Nachman instituted a fast. He prayed and the rain did not come. Omar, and he says, Shaklua l'Nachmon chavilto min guda le'ara. Take Nachmon, he seems to be speaking about himself, he says, take Nachmon and cast him from the top of the wall to down to the ground. And after saying that, he really felt despondent in cholashtaite, the awesome mitzvah. Again, you see our emphasis on the state of mind of cholashtaite, and that led to the rain. Now, here we have a topic heading with a structural note. You notice that we open up this section with a diamond, and in the middle of the line, a bow tie will appear. So, we have a note, a starred note on the side of the Gemara. Kan maschil isuk im Rav Yehuda. We're going to be involved with Rav Yehuda. He'll be the center of attraction, the center of attention. L'chein simanu oisoi with the bow tie. And also on the other margin, we have our nosei mivne heading, muva maise. An incident will be featured. Sheboi goza rabo tainis, where Rabo instituted a fast. The Lochain Rabba Mesumon with the diamond, Avol Behemshech. But as the Gemara continues, Rav Yehuda Nie Merkaz Asipur. Rav Yehuda will become the center of the story. The Lochain Suman with the bow tie. Sipurush Rav Yehuda Muvo B'Shnei Shlavim. The story of Rav Yehuda will be brought in two stages, and they are indicated with numbers 1 and 2, and we'll see, there's another marking that we'll see, a triangle, and that you will see, are Shlavei Biur, Mahu Adifus Rav Yehuda, Shemiyad Ne'eneh. We'll see we're going to investigate why Rav Yehuda, in this story, it seems to be better than Rabbo, why he was answered immediately in his fasting. So now the Gemara. Rabbo gozer tanisa, boy rachmi v'lo asa mitra. So this is a standard beginning of someone, in this case Rabbo, instituting a fast, praying, and the rain did not come. Omru lei, they asked Rabbo, Rahor of Yehuda, ki have a gozer tanisa also mitra. They asked Rabbi, but you know Rav Yehuda, when he, and now just chronologically, Rav Yehuda was a couple of generations before Rabbi. Again, that requires further analysis, because truth be told, if there's a Gemara in Erevin which is quoted elsewhere, where we see that Rabbah studied by Rav Yochanan, but as far as age is concerned, Rav Yehuda certainly was older than Rabbah, preceded Rabbah. So they asked Rabbah, what is it with you? You fast and your prayers are not answered. And Rav Yehuda, when he made a fast, oh, the rain did come. Omar Lahu, Rabbah says, my Avid, what can I do? He says, "E mishum tunuye." And here we start this analysis of what was it about Rav Yehuda that seemed to put him on a higher pedestal, a higher level than Rabbah. So Rabbah starts to analyze, if it's because of learning, learning Torah learning abilities, anon adifinon minayhu, we are better than he was. The Bishnei de Rabbi Yehuda, in the years of Rabbi Yehuda, called Tenuye, we continue at the top of Omid Beis, Benezikin Have. All of their learning, we can say their emphasis of learning, or the mainstay of their learning, was limited. It was limited to Nezikin, the section of the Shas that deals with torts, Nezikin, damages. It's the fourth order of the six orders of the Shas. So their abilities and their efforts were exerted in just one order, in Nezikin. Fanan komasninon b'shiso sidorin. And we are fluent in six orders, much more than they. V'fihava moti Rav Yehuda b'uksin. And when Rav Yehuda would encounter a topic involving uksin, here in the context of our Tainus Daf Yomishu, we're not going to be able to elaborate on this, but it has to do with laws of purity, of defilement, and stems of fruits. The stem of a fruit is capable of transmitting tuma from a source of defilement to the fruit, even though the defilement doesn't touch the actual fruit. That's the rules of uktzin that we're referring to here. And in the course of that topic, in learning uktzin, there's a mishnah that says oisha shekiveshes yerek bekedera. The amri law. Another version is zaysim shekovsham betirpehen. Tahoran, the first case, a woman who koveshes has to do with preserves a vegetable, and Rashi explains that preservation is through exerting pressure on the vegetable, reducing its liquid content, thereby enabling the vegetable to last, to be preserved for a long time. And the other version is involves olives and their preservation with their tirpehen, with their leaves attached to them. Tahorin. Tahorin means that the stems of these of the vegetables or of the olives are tahorin. Means they do not communicate tuma to the fruits if the stem or the leaves had come in contact with a source of tuma. And even though they're still attached to the fruit or the vegetable itself, they are no longer functional as what we call a yad, because they are crushed and they no longer serve as a handle for the fruit. Again, we were just mentioning certain points in that context. We're not explaining it too elaborately, but that's not the focal point of this Gemara. The main thing is, Omar Rav Yehuda, in encountering those topics of the vegetables or the olives being preserved, he would say, Havayos de Rav Ushmuel Kochazina Hocha. These topics are difficult to understand, like those topics that Rav and Shmuel would raise severe questions concerning them. In other words, when something is not clear, so you raise questions, and if great people are raising questions, it's a sign that something is difficult to understand. So what Rav Yehuda was saying is that these topics of uktzin are very difficult. They are like the topics that Rav and Shmuel raise questions about. And Va'anan says, Rabba, we call masninon b'uksin tleisar misifta. As far as the translation of this line, there are different approaches. Rashi here says, gives you one approach, but if you look up this same Gemara, or this parallel Gemara in Maseches Brachos Daf Chof Amud Aleph, you'll see other explanations for this line. But we'll just use the Rashi over here. Rabba says that when it comes to the study of uktzin, we have 13 academies in our locale that study these matters. In other words, what was difficult for Rav Yehuda, we can handle that very easily. Ve'ilu Rav Yehuda ki havishalav chad misana also mitra. And yet, when it came to matters of fasting and beseeching the heavens for rain, part of the fasting practice, and we've learned this earlier in the Masichta, has to do with going without shoes. So when Rav Yehuda came to remove his shoes, he would remove even one shoe. That's all he needed to do. The rain would fall. And we, says Rabbah, we scream all day and no one heeds us. So as far as their Rabbi Yehuda and his generation excelling in Torah studies, that's not true. That's not, in other words, they did not excel beyond us. E mishum uvda, if it's because of some type of faults in our behavior, our maisim, if there's someone that knows about our faults, let him come forth and say. What can leaders of a generation do when the ways of the people aren't up to par? This expression we've seen already, we saw back on the Chof Beis, Amit Beis, we saw this in the context of Yoshio HaMelech and why he suffered the fate that he did. So in the course of that discussion, this same expression came up, where the fault doesn't lie, in this case, in the leadership, didn't lie in Rabbah, but rather it lay in the people of his time. Rav Yehuda, Chozo Hano Beitrei, and here you see a number two, it's another installment of the stories concerning Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda saw two people, the Havukah Pritzi, Partzi Berifta. They were treating their bread very lightly. Now, we saw that in the time of Yehuda there had been a drought, and there was limited food supplies, and he notices two people treating bread, they were playing with their bread, throwing it from one to the other as in a game. Omar, Rav Yehuda said, Shmamino, Iko Sofa Biyamo, it must be that there's great satisfaction in the world. There's great plenty. Yohiv Eine, Have Kafna. He gave the rabbinic look, and lo and behold, there was a famine. Omar, Omru Le Rabbonon, Lerav Kahana Braid, Rav Nechunya, Shame Demar, Deshchiach Kamei, the Rabbonon turned to Rav Yehuda's right-hand man. The Shamei Demor would be the servant of Rav Yehuda, who was a regular by him. Shechemi was a regular by him. So this Rav Kahana could be a conduit for extracting themselves from this problematic situation of a famine. So they turned to his Shamish, Rav Kahana, and they said, Ni'asei, the lepuk bepischa de somuch l'shuka, cause it that Rav Yehuda should leave his house, when he goes out of his house, go out the entrance or the exit of his house through the door that's near the marketplace. Asye v'nofuk l'shuka. So he was able to do that. This Rav Kahana directed Rav Yehuda in such a way that he would leave. He did go through the market. Chozek Kenufya, he saw a gathering of people. Omar Luhu Maihai, so Rav Yehuda asked, what are all the people gathered around for? Omrulei, they've gathered around. Akusfo de Tamri Kaimi de Komizdavin. There was a cup of dates that was there for sale, and people were all interested in trying to get a hold of it. Omar Shma Mino Kafna Bamo. He says, oh, that's an indication if everyone's gathering around just one cup of dates that's up, that's been put up for sale, it must be that there's a famine out there in the world. Omar Leila Shamei, so he told his servant, Shlof Li Misanai, take off my shoes. This, as we saw before, is an act of it's part of the acts involved in the public fasts. Take off my shoes. Sholaf lechad nesan v'osemitri, took off one shoe and the rain started to fall. Kimot lemishlaf achrina, when he came to remove the second shoe, osa Eliyov yomale, Eliyov appeared and he said, Omar hakodesh boruchu, the Almighty says, Ishalfis achrina machrivna liam, if you take off one more shoe, I'll destroy the world. In other words, the power behind Rav Yehuda's practice was awesome, to put it mildly. Omar Rav Mori Bro Devas Shmuel. And the story continues. And we should have maybe mentioned earlier, notice that there's a long marking from the beginning of this story till going through this point as well. Rav Mori, the son of the daughter of Shmuel, says, Hano hava ko'imno agudanar popo. On that day, I was standing on the parapet lining the river Popa, Chazoy l'malachi, and I noticed angels, de'idmu l'malochi, here the words sound the same, but they're spelled differently, the angels that appeared to be like sailors, the komaisi chola, they were bringing some sand, umalunu la'arbi, and they filled the sand in boats, vavu kimcha de smiga, and the sand turned to fine flour. Also, kuli alma lemizvan, the people came, all of the people came to buy. Here, suddenly flour appears in this famished community, and they all came to buy it. Omar lahu mehalo tizvun, and I told them, don't buy this stuff. The Maisa Nisimhu. It comes as a result of a miracle. And we saw just before the things that come that whose origin is in miracles is something one should avoid. Lamochar Asyon Arbi Dechiti de Parzino. The next day, normal natural wheat came. Boats, Arbi are boats full of wheat. Parzino is the name of a place. Parzino wheat came. And so if they held off the day before from buying the miracle wheat, the next day they had natural wheat available. Rovo iklo lehagronyo gozer taniso velo osa mitra. So Rovo visits Hagronyo, name of a place, instituted a fast, and the rain did not fall. Omar luhu, he told the people, bisu means to sleep. To sleep on it. In other words, bisu kule alma betanasaihu, continue the fast through the night. In other words, sleep through the night while continuing your fasting. Lamochar omar luhu, the next day, Rava says to them, mi ika de chazachilmo lemo, if anyone saw a dream, so please report it. Omar lehu, Rabbi Lozer mehagrunya. So Rabbi Lozer responded, and he said, Rabbi Lozer from that town, Hagrunya, said, "Didi akrin b'chalmi." It was shown to me in my dream, and the expression akrun. Rashi says, "Hikruni hasikori b'chalmi." I was reciting in my dream the following. Shalom tav l'rav tav miribon tav demituve meitiv li'ame. That's a good greeting to a good rabbi from a great master that through his goodness bestows goodness to his people. So this is what he recited in his dream. Omar, and he said, Shma mino eis rotzon hi mivi rachmi. This is a sign that it's a good time to pray and seek heavenly mercy. Boy Rachami V'osi Mitra. They prayed and rain came. Now we have a new bow tie shape, another bow tie shape, continuation of the bow tie scheme we introduced earlier. On the side of the Gemara we have a nosei, a topic heading. This is a Maisa Shaboy Rovo Chiev Mishu B'Malkis. In this story we're going to see Rovo who ruled about some man that he is guilty of a sin, and the sin was that he had intimacy with a Gentile girl, and as a result he is deserving of lashings. So Rava saw to it that this man received lashings, and the Ekev Kach Hilshinu Alav, and through that they squealed on Rava to the authorities. And the authorities were very upset that one of their citizenry was lashed by this rabbi. So they wanted to seek retribution out against Rava. Avol todos lehit arvuta shel ifro hur mezima deshova malka Rava nitzal. But thanks to the intervention of the queen mother, Rava was saved. Now, we'll see in this story the special relationship that Rava had with this particular woman. She was the mother of the king of Persia. The Gemara. Hahu Gavra, the Chayev Nagdan, there was a man that was guilty of receiving lashes. Beveidina, the Rava Mishun the Baal Kusis. And he was, his guilty verdict came through the court of Rava, and the offense had been that he had Baal, he had intimacy with a Kusis, with a Gentile. Nagde Rava Umis. Rava lashed this man, and he died. Ishtama Milsa Beishavar Malka. Word came to the royal house, King Shapur, Baal Litzure LaRava, and they wanted to punish Rava. Amalei Ifra Hormiz Ime Deshavar Malka Libra. So Ifra Hormiz, also that's her name, the queen mother, said to her son, the king, Lo Leheve Loch Esek Dvorem Bahadi Udoi. Don't start up, don't get involved with the Jews. In other words, don't antagonize the Jews, don't try to punish them. The Choman, the Bayon, Mimarayu, Yohiv Luhu. Whatever they seek out, whatever they ask of their God, of their master, he grants them. Omar Law, Mahi. So the son asks his mother, the king asks his mother, what are you referring to? So she says, Boy in Rachami Vasimitra, they pray for rain and rain comes. Omar Law, so the son said, Ahu Mishum de Zimna de Mitrahut. The rain coming isn't a function of their prayers, it's because it's the season for rain. Hello, Livu Rachami Hoidna, but Kufas Tamas Vulesi Mitra. Let's see if they can pray now in the summer season, Tkuvas Tammuz, and we're speaking about a region which had definitive seasons, a rainy season and a dry season. Tkuvas Tammuz is a reference to the summer dry season. Let's see them pray now and rain fall. Sholchale Larava. So the queen mother, who, as we saw, was very impressed with Rava, she sends to him, Kavein Daitoch Uboi Rachami Dulesi Mitra. Concentrate in your thoughts and pray for rain to come now. Boy Rachami Velosi Mitra. Well, he prayed and the rain didn't come. Omar Lofonov. So he continued with his request. He says, Ribbono shel Olam, quotes a posuk from Tehillim, Perek Mem Dalet, posuk Beis, Elokim Bosnenu Shamanu Avosenu Sipru Lanu Po'al Po'alta B'Yameyam B'Yamei Kedem. We have heard from our forebearers about the amazing workings, the amazing miracles that you have done for them in early days. Ve'anu B'Yineinu Loroinu. We didn't see. Now, Rashi is quick to point out that it's not as if Rav is saying that since we didn't see, so we can be skeptics. Nothing of the kind. But rather, what he's saying is, you did miracles for our forebearers. Kindly, please do a miracle for us. Also, Mitra, rain came at the Shofach Marzavi de Tzipori le Diglas. Until so much rain came until the marzivir, the rain spouts, the gutters, the roof gutters of Tzipori. There's another girsa which maybe is better as Mechuza, which was a place in Bavel, spilled out over into the Diglas, the Chidekel River. Also, Avuha is Chazile Bechume, the father of Rava, appears to Rava in a dream. V'yarmalei miyiko de mitrach kamishmaya kule hai. Now this expression of mitrach kule shmaya kamishmaya we saw just before in the the son of Yossi de Menukras causing the figs to come forth out of its time, and the father there being upset with that. Here you have Rava's father being upset with Rava being matriach kamishmaya for troubling heavens so much. Omar lay, and the father continues telling his son, Shani Duchtech, you should change your location. In other words, don't sleep where you usually sleep. Shani duchte, he changed his place. Lamochar, the next day, Ashkeche de Misham Purye Besakini. He saw that his bed had been stabbed or full of knives piercing his bed. In other words, if he had stayed there, his fate would have been sealed. Rava Gozer Tanisa Velo Asa Mitra. Rav Papa instituted a fast and no rain came. So, Cholash Libe, here it means he felt weak. And Soraf Pincha de Daisa Uboi Rachami Velo Asa Mitra. He tasted a little bit of daisa, type of porridge, a spoonful of porridge, and he continued to pray. Velo osa mitra, no rain fell. Omale Rav Nachman Barush Bezosi. Rav Nachman Barush Bezosi says to Rav Papa, Isorif mor pinchachriti, the daisa osi mitra. Maybe if you would have a little more to eat, and he was being very sarcastic with him, maybe have a little more to eat, then the rain would come. Ichsif, so he was embarrassed. Rav Papa was embarrassed with cholish daite. He experienced this feeling of despondency, the osa mitra, and upon that, the rain fell. Rav Chanina ben Doisa. Now here we have a story, very, very famous personality, a Shas personality, and here the Gemara dedicates a lot of time to him, and you'll notice we have a long marking. This takes you down a considerable way down, Chof Hei Amid Aleph. This is the story, or a series of stories, involving Rabbi Chanina ben Doisa. On the side, we have a Nosei Mivne heading, where a new marking appears, a triangle marking appears. These triangles, and there will be numbering them as well, these are Maisim HaKshurim L'Rabbi Chanina ben Doisa. We have a series of incidents that are all related to him, and we'll be numbering up to, as things appear now, 7 incidents. The Gemara continues. Rabbi Chanina ben Doisa have a ka'azil b'urcha. He was on the road. Also, mitra, it started to rain. Omar lefonov. And he said, Ribbono shel olam, kolam kulo benachas v'chanina betzar. The whole world is at peace. That's because they have fields and people are enjoying the fact that it's raining right now. But I am on the road. And Rabbi Chanina ben Doisa was a person who suffered abject poverty. He doesn't need the rain, so because he doesn't have any fields to begin with. So he's not enjoying the rain. He's on the road and being drenched in the rain. And he said that to the Ribbono Shelom. Posak Mitra, and the rain stopped. Kimoto the basin, when he finally gets home with a roof over his head, Omar Lefonov, Rav Chanina ben Doisa then says, Ribbono Shelom, kolam kula b'tzar, the world is suffering. They don't have water for their fields. V'chanina nachas, I'm home, and I'm comfortable now. Osa mitra, the rain started to fall again. Omar of Yosef, Maya hani olei tzlois l'koin godol l'gabi Chanina ben Doisa. Of what value, of effectiveness, mahani is to be effective, of what effectiveness would the prayer of the Kohen Gadol and Yom Kippur have in the face of Rabbi Chanina ben Doisa? That's very vague right now. What do we mean? So here the Gemara gives the background. Disnan. The Kohen Gadol, upon his exit from the Holy of Holies on Yom Kippur, before he reappeared to the rest of the public, he would say a short prayer. My Matzli, what was the text of the Kohen Gadol's prayer on Yom Kippur? So, Ravan bar Adov, Rava bar Adov, the Amri Trevayu, Mishmei, Rebuta, they both say in the name of Rebuta. We have a little aleph here because this will appear in 2 stages. Yehi Ratzon Milfonecha, Hashem Elokeinu Shetei Hashana Hazu, the Kohen Gadol prays to the Almighty, that this year shall be, and we skip the brackets for a moment, Im Shchuna, if it's destined to be a dry year, Tehei Geshuma, there should be a lot of water. So that during the dryness or the Shchun actually means hot. If it's destined to be a hot year, there will be ample water. Now let's go over the brackets that containing a text that it needs is that needs that's inaccurate. So the Kohen Gadol says shetei shana zu geshuma ushchuna. The Kohen Gadol is thought to have prayed that it should be rainy and hot. Shchuna mal yasehi. Is shchuna being hot a good thing? Adraba grei usahi. It's a negative thing to be overly hot. Ela, rather, what the Kohen Gadol is saying, im shchuna, if it's destined to be a hot year, tehei geshuma, it should also be a year of plenty of rain. Utlula, rain and dew. The al yikonis lefonecha tefilas oivrei drachim, and the prayers of the travelers should not come before you. Travelers don't want it to rain. So the Kohen Gadol is saying that it should be your will that their prayers should not be answered. Rav Achol Brei de Rava, Mesayim Mishmei de Rav Yehuda. This is the second stage of the prayer, also quoting Rav Yehuda. That's why we have this dotted line marking, this dotted underline. In both cases, they're quoting Rav Yehuda. So he says, and the prayer would continue, Lo Yadi Ovid Shulton Midabes Yehuda. The Kohen Gadol is praying that the Shultan means the leadership, the kingship, the leadership of the Jewish people should remain in the hands of the tribe of Yehuda, Malchus Beis David, who the Davidic dynasty which descends from the tribe of Yehuda, that should continue. Valu Amcho Yisrael Tzrichinus Parnei Zemizeh V'loi La'am Acher, and the nation of Israel should not be dependent one on the other for their maintenance, nor dependent on another nation. We shouldn't be a nation of dependence. So, with that background in mind, we understand that though the Kohen Gadol would pray what we just saw, that it would be no contest against Rabbi Chanina ben Doisa, who, when he was a traveler, his prayer for the rain to stop was answered, contrary to what the Kohen Gadol would have been praying for. Omar Rav Yehud Omar Rav, b'chol yoyim v'yoyim bas kol yoytzis v'yomeres, every day a heavenly voice comes forth announcing, kol ha'olam kuloi nizoin b'shvil Chanina b'ni, the whole world is sustained through the merits of this great pious individual, Chanina, my son, Chanina ben Doisa, v'Chanina b'ni, dayo b'kav charuv v'mer of Shabbos l'erev Shabbos, and Chanina himself, he survives on a kav as a measure of charuvim, of some translate charuvim as carob. It's some type of very cheap type of fruit. He sustains himself on a kav, on the small measure of charuvim from week to week, from Friday to Friday. In other words, he didn't even have bread in his possession. And now we go on to another story involving Rav Chanina ben Doisa. Havragila devisu Lemichmo tanuro komali b'shabata. Devisu is his wife. Rav Chanina ben Doisa's wife was regular in firing up her oven every Friday. V'shadja aktarta, and she would put into the flames a substance that would increase the smoke, creating the impression that she was baking something when she was actually baking nothing. Mishum kisufa, the Gemara at the top of Chof Hemav says, why did she do this? Because of embarrassment. Everyone else was baking, and their ovens had smoke rising, but with actual baked goods within them, she had nothing, but she didn't want to look different. And out of embarrassment, she had this substance that produced smoke. Have lo hach shivavosa bishta. She had this bad neighbor. Omra, the neighbor figured, Michti Adana de Lesluhu Velomidi, I know that they don't have anything. My kulehai, what's all this smoke coming from her oven? Asla Vitorfa Bova. So the neighbor went and knocked on the door, on her door, on Chanina Doisa's door, where his wife was. Ichsifa, the Ailo in the Runa. She was embarrassed, and she went into the room. She went into an inner room. Isavid lo nisa, the chazi le tanura mole lachmo, the agna mole lisha. A miracle happened, and it appeared that her oven was full of bread, and the agna, her bowls, were full of dough. Omra lo planisa planisa, I see masa, the kachorich lachmech. So the neighbor said to her neighbor, to the Chinur Lewis's wife, so, planisa means like so and so and so and so, and go bring masa. Bring the masa is a an implement for removing bread from the from an oven's walls. They would bake bread by slapping the dough on the walls of the oven, and it would be baked in that fashion. And in order to remove the bread from the oven walls, this device called a masa was used. So she says, hey, get your masa, the chachorich lachmech. You know, your bread is burning. Omra lo, the wife of Chinur Lewis, says, af ana lahachi aili. Yeah, that's right, I went into the room to get that. Tana afhi lahavi marta nichnasam imeshim uledes v'nisim. We're taught here that she in fact did go in to get this. She was a regular with miracles. She knew, she was familiar with these miracles, and she was in fact on her way to get this this device called the masa to get the bread out of the oven, called the miracle bread. Omra le devisu. So the same woman, the wife of Reb Chinur Lewis, says to her husband, "Ad emas nezel v'nitzar kulehai. How long are we going to be living like this, in this suffering like this?" Omar lo, my navid. What should I do? Boi rachmi denesvulach midi. So she says, "Pray so that something should be given to you." Bo rachmi, so he prayed. Yotzakim in pisas yad, viavule chad kara de psur de dava. A type of a hand appeared, and it gave him a kara de psura is the leg of a table made of gold. Chazi bechilma, and it appeared in a dream. Asiri tzadiki d'achli absur d'davo d'isle tlas kari. In the future, the righteous will eat from tables made of gold, having three legs. V'at achlis absuro d'tre kari, and you will be eating from a table that has two legs. Omar lo. So Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa asks his wife, Nicholoch de Mechal Achli Kuliyama Absur de Mishlam Vanan Absur de Michsar. Are you going to be happy with this situation where everyone else is eating off of tables in the world to come that are complete with three legs, and we will be sitting at a table with two legs? Omrole, so she says, Umay Navid, what can we do? Boi rachmi dinishkalinhu minoch. Pray for it to be taken away. Boi rachmi vishakluhu. And they prayed, and it was taken. Tana, and we're taught, Godol hoya neis achron yoiser min harishon. The taking back of that table leg was a bigger miracle than the table leg being given to them. The Gemiri, we have a tradition, the Mehav Yavi, that when heaven gives things, Mishkal Lo Shakli, heaven does not take back things. And in this case, it was taken back, indicating something very special, very unusual. Chad Be Shimshi, Chazi Labarte, the Havis Atziva. There was one Beis Shemesh, his Erev Shabbos, where Chanina ben Dosa saw his daughter that was saddened. Omar lo, biti lamai atzivis. Yes, why are you saddened? Omro lei. So she says, kli shel choymetz nischalef li bekli shel shemen. I had a switch around of vinegar got switched around instead of oil. In other words, I had a vessel that I thought contained oil, and it turned out that it had vinegar. V'hidlakti mimenu or l'shabbos, and I lit my Shabbos candles, the candles that would be the source of light for Shabbos. I lit the vinegar. Omar lo biti mayich basloch. So he says to his daughter, "What of what concern is there to you? What difference does it make to you? Misha Omar Lishemen Vidlok, who Yomar Lochomes Vidlok. He who says, who created the laws of combustion, the laws of nature that dictates that oil shall, light shall be a source of fuel, he too can rule that vinegar can be a source of fuel. Tana haya doylek v'hoylech kol hayoyim kulo at shivu menu ur lavdala. And we are taught that vinegar candle stayed lit all through Shabbos until Saturday night, where they were able to bring from it fire for Havdalah. Rabbi Chanina ben Doisa, Havulu Hanoch Izi, he had some goats. Omrulei, the neighbors told him, Komafsidon Izoch, your goats are causing us a loss there, eating our fields. Omar I Komafsidon, so he says, if my goats are responsible for your loss, Nichlinu Dubi, let bears come and consume my goats. V'i loi, and if not, kochado v'chado, tesi v'urto duba bekarnayu. And if my goats are not guilty of anything, so then let each one of my goats bring home this evening a bear on its horns, and in the goat's horns. V'urto aisi kochado v'chado duba bekarnayu. And that evening, each goat, in fact, brought a bear in its horns, showing that Rabbi Chanina ben Doisa's goats weren't causing anyone any loss. Havileahi Shivivasa, the Kobanya Besa, Velomotuk Shuri. He had a neighbor who was building a house, but the beams, the ceiling beams were too short. They didn't extend from wall to wall. Asila Kame, she came to her neighbor, Omra Le Bonisi Besi, Velo Komotuk Shuroya. I built a house and the beams are not long enough. Omar lo mashmech. So Rabbi Chanina ben Doisa asks, "Well, what's your name?" Omra le ichu. My name is ichu. Omar ichu nimti kshurech. So he says a very brief prayer. Says ichu, let your beams be elongated. Tana, and we're taught higiu at shiyotsu amo lekan v'amo lekan. They reached. They in fact elongated until an amo is a measure, an amo extra extended from this side and from that side. V'yesh oirim snifim asa'um. Another version is that the snifim are like couplets were added on, extra pieces. Miraculously got attached. Not that the singular beam extended as one piece, but small pieces grew onto it or added onto it. Tanya, Flimo Oimer Ani Roisi, Oisoi Habayis. Flimo was the name of a scholar who lived at the time of Rebbe. He says, I saw that house, Ani Roisi Oiso Habayis, V'hoyu Karosav Yotzus Amo Lekan V'amo Lekan, and the beams in fact extended one amo extra on each side. V'omru Li, and they told me, Bayezesh Shekiru Reb Chanina ben Doisa B'tfilah. So this is the house that Reb Chanina ben Doisa roofed through his prayer. The Gemara continues with a section that in some texts doesn't actually belong here, isn't part of the Gemara. That note is brought on the side, and other Meforshim deal with it, but we'll go through it. It's nevertheless a famous story. There are questions that though one can ask on the story, but we're going to just continue with the text as it is. Rabbi Chanina ben Doisa Meichon Havu Le'izim. We saw before that he had some goats. So here the Gemara is asking, where did he get goats from? V'ha oni have. He was a poor man. A poor man isn't expected to own goats. V'yod amu chachomim, and furthermore, it's taught by the sages, ein magad l'bein madaka beretz Yisrael. One isn't even allowed to raise small cattle like goats and sheep in the land of Israel. So the question is, where did he get goats from? Omar Rav Pinchas Maisa. There was an incident. V'ovar Odom echad al pesach beso. There was a passerby that passed by his house, Reb Chanina's house. V'niach sham tarnegolim. He left some chickens there. U'matzasam ishto shalina ben doisa. And the wife of Hunasa found these chickens that the man had left there, left mistakenly, lost his chickens. V'yamar lo, and Reb Chanina says, al tochli mi beit sehen. Don't eat from these eggs. V'hirbu beitzim v'tarnagolim. And in the course of time, more eggs were laid, chickens were born, and more chickens and more chickens. V'hayu mitzara nosam. It was causing them pain, causing them suffering. U'machron v'kona b'dmeim izim. So instead of having to deal with all the chickens, they sold the chickens and bought with the money goats. One day, that man that lost his chickens passed by the Omar Lechavero, and he said to his friend, "Bekan hinachti hatarnagolim shili. It's over here that I left my chickens." Shama Rabbi Chanina. Rabbi Chanina heard that. Omar loy yesh lo habohen simin. Do you have some kind of sign concerning your chickens that they can be identified as yours? Omar lo hein, yes, nosan lo simen. The man provided the necessary sign, and of course the chickens were no longer there. They were sold for goats. V'notal es ho'izim, and the man took the goats. V'heinein izin da aisu dubi bekarnayim. Those are the very goats that brought back in the evening those bears that we mentioned above. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us, especially in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.